Begin the current daven, Septus Chulin Daf Kufiyud Beis. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues on the discussion of this parak regarding the Halachas of Basa B'Chalav, specifically regarding the separations and divisions we have to make to create a division between Basar and Chalav that we don't get to mix them up and violate that Isser. So, Boimenei Rav Dimim Rav Nachman. He asked him, Ma'ula Nuchi Kadir de Milcha. What's Halacha? Is one allowed to put a receptacle of salt, a type of a salt holder, by this bowl of kamcha, which is what we've been referencing, this kutach, which is some type of a dip in Talmudic times, which had milk ingredients inside. So the question was, are we concerned that maybe since these holders are right near each other, some of the kutach dip might fall into the salt, and the person is going to be unaware, and then they're going to come to use the salt with a pot of meat, which is when you have different dishes on the table, one thing might drip into the other, and then the salt might be used from some meat, and then you'll have basa b'chalav, you'll have milk mixing with the meat. So amalei aser. So Rav Nachman said to him, yeah, it's actually prohibited. You can't have it right near each other, because then it might come to mix in. So I asked him, and the chalamai, what's the halacha regarding vinegar? Because it was their custom that they would put vinegar into their dishes. So the question was, are we concerned that maybe some of the kutach will fall into the vinegar and then he's going to go ahead and use that vinegar, like when people have on the table certain things like ketchup, certain dips, or mayonnaise, they have certain things, and you might come to you and then use it for the meat. What's the halacha? So Malay Shari says, that's okay. So Nari asked the Maishno, what's the difference between salt and vinegar? You have both of them that the kutach dip might fall into, and then you might use it with meat. So he says, L'chitechel Allah kur de milcha. He says, when you measure for me a kur, which is a certain measurement of salt, for my pay, then I'll tell you the reason of the difference, which is some type of a jest. But he says, in my time, so what's the reason of the difference? He says, hi, regarding kutach, that if we're concerned that it's going to fall into the salt, ise isur be'ene. It's visible, it's recognizable, because it's thick, the salt, and therefore the kutach is not nullified, because it could be differentiated. Now, therefore it's a problem, if it's going to fall in, it's going to be extant, and then that might be mixed in with the meat dish that he's going to eat with. But vahai, regarding if kutach might fall into the vinegar, lesa isur be'ene, it's not visible anymore, that kutach, because it gets dissolved into the vinegar, and moreover, it doesn't give a taste either into the vinegar to be usur, so it's going to be nullified because it's not extant. It actually gets mixed into the vinegar, and it's not going to give a taste into there, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem, even if it fell in, if one would then subsequently use the vinegar with meat. Now, related halacha, where it tells Ahubar Gezala de Nafal Kada de Kamcha. There was this young pigeon that fell into this jug of Kamcha, of this Kutach dip, and Shari Rav Chinina Bered de Rava Mibishrunya. He permitted it for that bird to be eaten, even though the Kutach is salty. That Omar Rava, he says, Manchakim la Mishri ki Hagavna, who's so intelligent to permit such a situation? Ilav Rav Chinina Bered de Rava Mibishrunya. Why? Ksava, he understood. Although Shmuel had said that when you sold something, as we mentioned on the previous daf, it's like it's roasting, so essentially that should be a problem. This bird, which is fleishig's meat, fell into this kutach dip, so you have meat and milk, and they're cooking because it's salty, this kutach dip. So that should be like meat and milk that were cooked, it should be forbidden, that bird. So he understood that halacha, that that was only if it's not easy to eat that piece of meat because it's so salty. Until you soak it and wash it off with water, you wouldn't actually be able to eat it because it's that salty. Like when people salt for meat to be stored away for a long time, that's the salting process that they use to maintain its viability. That's when that salt is going to be so salty that it's going to be like roasting. This kutach dip, hari nechel machmas melchay. In other words, it's eaten in that salt. It's not such a salty that you have to wash it off. That salty is not karesech, and therefore it wasn't a problem with that this bird fell into the kutach dip. Just wash it off, and you could eat it. Now, qualifies the Gemara, v'hanim milichai. That's only as in the previous incident, if the bird is raw, is alive, or raw, but it wasn't cooked, that's when we say, if it fell into the kutach dip, okay, it's not going to make the bird forbidden. But if it was roasted bird that fell into the kutach dip, then you would actually have to peel away on the surface all around, because then it would have gotten in, because when you roast it, it's softer, then it would have gotten in at least a peel's worth of the bird. Now, moreover, ve'isbe pili, and if there are cracks, meaning it was roasted and there's cracks in that bird, so then it's not enough just to peel it away, because then that kutach, that milk ingredients, gets absorbed through the holes of the bird, and then kuli also, then actually the whole bird is forbidden. Now, moreover, also ve'im betavel betavlin, and if it was spiced with spices, so then the spices that it was cooked with, it then softens up the bird and makes it easier to absorb, and therefore when the bird, this chicken, whatever it is, then subsequently falls into the kutach dip, it's like thirsty to swallow up, and it swallows up the ingredients it falls into, then kuli asr, there also the whole bird is going to be asr. Going back to the topic of the previous daf regarding the halacha, the Mishnah we were speaking about, the laws relating to meat and blood. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, he says, Kikir shechatech le basar, regarding a loaf of bread that had a piece of meat which had already been roasted, and now he's cutting the meat on top of the loaf of bread. So asal achla, it's forbidden to eat that loaf of bread because of the blood that comes out from that roasted piece of meat and it gets absorbed into that bread. Now, but that he qualifies v'hanim ila da'asmik. But this is only if the meat was red because it was bruised. So therefore, then it has a lot of blood in it. Moreover, v'hanimili da'avre, and this is only if the blood makes like a hole through the loaf. In other words, it means to say that it goes from one side that it falls on all the way through to the other side, that you could see this blood from both sides. And v'hanimili da'asmeche, and this is only if that juice that's coming out from this meat is thick. And the reason for all these criteria is that then we know that it's blood, and therefore that's going to make the bread forbidden. Of a klishasa, but if let's say this juice that's coming out is thin, then less lumba, then we're not bothered with this juice that looks reddish that's going into the bread, because that's not blood. But if it is thick and it goes through to the other side, and the meat was bruised, then we say that this piece of meat, although it was roasted already, which generally gets out the blood, but that's still going to be some blood coming out, and it's going to make that piece of bread forbidden. As the Gemara tells us, Shmuel shadi lelikalbi, when it would be this type of loaf that the meat was cut on, he would throw that bread to the dogs. Whereas Rav Huna yov lelishamoi, he would give it to his attendant. On that, the Gemara asks Rav Huna, man of shach, what is your desire? What do you mean? He's not eating it, but he's going to go ahead and feed something forbidden to his attendant? Ishari, if it's permitted, l'kuli amashar, should be permitted for everyone, and he himself should eat it. And the also, if it's forbidden, l'kuli amashar, should be forbidden for everyone. Why does he give it to his attendant? Says the Gemara, Shani Rav Huna was different. This that he didn't eat it was not because he held it was asr, but rather because danina daite, he was what's called an istinus. He was very delicate of character, and therefore it was very hard for him to eat something like that, and therefore he didn't eat it. But not because he held it was forbidden, and that's why he just gave it to his attendant. In other words, he disagreed with Shmuel. And so to Ivan Rava Achle, he would eat that bread. Vekarli chamar basa, he would call the wine of the meat. I mean, this red that's coming out is like wine, it's not blood, and therefore it's not forbidden. Now, another teaching that relates back, the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel. He says, Ein manichin kli tachas basar. When Allah put this vessel beneath the meat, which we had mentioned in the previous daf, what's called this beidugi, which they would put underneath the roasting meat so they could get all that juice that drips down, all that schmaltz, and use it. You're not allowed to put that vessel beneath the meat. Until there's first, you get rid of all the red color that there is over there, which in other words is that first it should let it emit and spit out all the blood that's inside of it. Only then can you put the beidugi down and get that fat, because you're not allowed to be able to have the blood inside. So says the Gemara Menoni Din, how do we know if all the blood already came out so that we could put the beidugi? So Mazuch Mishmed Rav Papa says, Mishatalitim Rasa. Either that means once the meat starts smoking, and then you know, okay, the meat, the blood is out, because when the blood is in, then it's not smoking. Or another interpretation is that when the coal starts smoking, because as long as the blood is dripping down in it, it keeps on extinguishing the coals and it doesn't smoke. But when the blood stops coming out, then the fat starts dripping and then it starts smoking. Now, however, Maskevler Rav Ashi asked him this interpretation. He says, but Vadilma Tato Mata, but maybe it's only that it reached the bottom half of the meat, which is closer to the coals. That maybe that got roasted, and therefore all the blood is out, and therefore that's why the coals are smoking. But ilah lemata. But maybe the upper part of the meat wasn't fully roasted yet, and maybe there's still blood inside, and it's going to come out later into the beidugi, and one's going to be having blood inside those fats, so it should still be forbidden. So Elam Rav Ashi, rather, he says you're right. Less late takanta. There's no way of fixing this. You wouldn't be able to have this beidugi beneath the roasted meat. Elam mishte beitarti gloli malcha. Only if you take 2 clumps of salt. both on the meat and into that beidugi vessel, then the blood gets drawn to the salt, and the salt that's on the bottom of the beidugi is going to pull it down to the bottom. Then the blood's going to go to the bottom, and then there's a katintum and beis umishfiyeh. And then, like the word hashreifa means like to pour, then you'll pour the fat that's on the upper half of the beidugi slowly from that vessel to another vessel, so that the blood that's in the bottom won't get mixed in. That's the only way you could use this beidugi. Now, Rashi brings from the Bahag, the Baal Halachis Gedolos, that it specifically is two clumps of salt, meaning a little bit of amount of salt. But actually, if you use a lot of salt, that actually will interrupt the strength of the blood. It will make it too liquidy like water. It will break it up, and then it will actually get congealed and mixed in with the fats, and then you're back to the problem again. So it can't be too much salt. It has to be a little bit that it draws it, but it keeps it in its viscous type of consistency, like blood. Then it will be separate from the fat. Now, Amalei Rav Acha Bered Rav Ikel Rav Ashi asks, did Shmuel really say this, that however, that once the red color has been removed from what's dripping out of the fat, out of the roasted meat, then it's going to be permitted to go ahead and put the beidugi and then use those fats? But Vamar Shmuel had said, the previous halacha we had said, kikur shechitach ala basar, regarding a loaf of bread, that you cut meat in it, asla achla, it's forbidden to eat it. And as we explained, that piece of meat we were talking about is even though it's roasted, and still you see, even though it was roasted already, I mean you finished the roasting process, and now you're cutting it, we said that the bread underneath is going to be forbidden, obviously because we say that there's still blood inside. So how could he say that there is a part in the process of the roasting that you could put the beidugi, but why? You see there's always still blood on it, even when you're cutting it subsequently on a loaf of bread. So how can you go ahead and put the beidugi? Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, no, there, in the case of loaf of bread is different. Yes, when you're roasting, there's going to be a certain point that all the red's going to come out, and you're not going to have any more blood, and therefore you could put the beidugi. But when you finished even roasting and then you're cutting it on a loaf of bread, there it's different because the agav duchka de sakina pullet. Because through the pushing of the knife, it will emit some blood. Because truthfully, you're right. When the smoke's coming out of the coals or from the piece of meat, at that point in time, no more blood's going to come out through the fire. And whatever's coming out is fat, and that's permitted. But when you're cutting it and you're pressing down the knife in it, that pushing, if there is some blood in it, that will push it and it will come out, and therefore the loaf of bread beneath it is going to be forbidden. Another teaching from Omer of Nachman, he says on this topic, regarding fish and birds that were salted one with the other. Now, it's not specifically birds. It's even just a bigger chiddush for birds. But actually, as we'll shortly see, for sure, if the fish was salted with other meat, which is even harder than that of birds, and for sure will be for the concept that we're going to say, but even birds, if it's salted with fish, asurin, then the fish itself, when we say they are forbidden, it's referring to the fish. The reason for that is, as we'll see, is because the blood that's coming out of the meat is subsequently getting absorbed into the fish. And that blood that's coming out is forbidden. That's why we're salting it. And now the fish has that forbidden blood. That would make the fish forbidden. Now, that is the Gemara Hechidama. What's this case? If we're talking about a non-perforated vessel, and there's no holes, you're salting it together in one bowl that has no holes, then there shouldn't be a problem only when you have salting birds with fish. Even if you're salting only birds, only chicken, it should also be forbidden. As the Gemara tells in the next daf, you're not allowed to salt meat only if it's on a perforated vessel, meaning that has holes, because then the blood's going to go out. But if you have non-perforated, the blood's going to stay in the vessel and it's going to get reabsorbed in the meat. So if it's non-perforated, it should be a problem even with birds. And if it's talking about a vessel that is perforated, then even if you're salting birds with fish, then the fish should also be permitted because the blood's going out. What's the difference if it's fish or if it's some other piece of meat that we have them two pieces of meat salted one with the other? Even though the blood's coming out of the upper piece and it's going down to the bottom one, we say it doesn't get forbidden if it's a perforated vessel because it doesn't stay there, it just drips out and goes out of the vessel. Says the Gemara, lo ilam b'kli menukim. Truthfully, we're talking about that it is a perforated vessel. So then why are the fish forbidden? The reason is because if a dagim mishum derafu karmayu, since by fish, their membrane is very soft. Their skin, their whole element is very soft. So kadmi upalti, they're very quick to spit out whatever juices it has inside of it. There's not that many barriers that are blocking it from spitting out its juice. Now, va'aifa is kemiti. However, birds, chicken, they're more tight. In other words, they're not so quick to spit out the juices that are inside. Now, what happens then is, when the fishes have already stopped spitting it out, because it's very quick to do it, basa denachi dagim, after the fish has already stopped spitting out, plitei eifais, the birds are still at that point, because they're slower and later, they're still spitting out their forbidden juices, meaning because the bloods. So therefore, b'hadra bali minai, therefore subsequently, the fish will be absorbing, because they're not spitting out anymore, the forbidden blood from the chicken. But in contrast, let's say when they're salting two pieces of meat together, as long as this piece of meat is busy spitting out, this other piece of meat is also spitting out. They go at the same pace, and they're spitting out together. So therefore, as long as the lower piece of meat is busy spitting out, it's not absorbing. And therefore, they're not going to be forbidden because they're going at the same pace. But fish, with any bird, as we said, that for sure other meat, because they go even slower, the fish is going to be forbidden. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, Rav Mori Bar Rachel. Imlach le basar shchuta. What happened was that he had slaughtered kosher meat, salted, bahadi basa treifa, together with non-kosher meat. And it was in a perforated vessel, the way generally they salt meat. Because or else, anytime you're salting, if it's non-perforated, then you have a problem. So Asla Kameh de Rav, he came in front of Rav, and he asked him, do we say, just like by blood, we're not concerned that maybe the upper one spit out the blood and the lower down that absorbed it? Because we say as long as this one's busy spitting out, so it's not absorbing, and both of them stop spitting out at the same time, say, it also wouldn't make a difference. And even though it's talking about non-kosher meat, whatever it's spitting out, the kosher one's spitting out at the same time. And when that one stops, this one stops. And therefore, the kosher meat that's salted with it would be permitted, or no, maybe it would be forbidden. So Malay Sarava said to him, quoting a pasuk in Mayikr, it says, Hatameim. There's an extra hay, which is by this pasuk of Hatameim Lachem Machal Sheretz. I could have just said, Tameim Lachem Machal Sheretz. And it says, the ones that are Tamei for you, from all Shratzim, from all vermin, from non kosher elements. Which that comes to teach, what's the extra hay? Le'eser Tzirin, to include other things to forbid their juices, Veroitvin, their gravy, Vekifashalan, and those small little pieces, those spices, and little pieces of meat that are there on the bottom of the pot. Now, so therefore, what Rav was telling him was that since the gravy of a forbidden item, of shratzim, of bastard trefa, is forbidden, so therefore the kosher meat that you salted with it is going to be forbidden because of the gravy of the trefa, because, although you're right, by blood, we're saying when this is spitting out, and this one stops, but the gravy is more easily absorbed than by blood. So therefore, although they're both spitting out, even when it's spitting out, the forbidden gravy that you have from this basa trefa is getting absorbed in the basa shchut, and therefore that piece of meat is forbidden. Now the Gemara, as we continue to move Kofi Gimel Alv, asks on the response of Rava, why did he come from this halacha of that pasuk? He could have just told him from the halacha of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, which actually Shmuel's halacha says it more clearly, Malich Harei Kiriseh, it says clearly that what's the prohibited element over here when you have the basa treifa with the basa shchuta? It's because it was salted together. Salting is like roasting. And so too, pickling is like cooking. But one thing is, he could have said clearly, you have two things that are roasting together. Although it's salting, salting is like roasting. Of course, if you roast non-kosher meat with kosher meat, we don't say when this is busy, this one's busy. It's cooking together. Of course, it's going to be forbidden. Says Gemara, no, even the Shmuel, had he only quoted the halacha of Shmuel, havamina hanemili daman. I would have said that's only a halacha that applies to blood. And for example, like we said, by a vessel that's not perforated, so that once one spits it out, the other one will absorb it. Then we say when they're salting together, then it's like roasting, and then you have the forbidden blood that's going into the other one. Avat siron veroitvan, but I would say regarding gravy and their juices, that's not considered a prohibited element in the first place. And we would say it's just like, it's like the sweat of the food item. And loy, there I would say it's not going to be forbidden. Moreover, in this case, there's no concern for the blood element, besides the problem of the non-kosher piece of meat. It's blood, that blood is always forbidden. Because like we said, we're describing a case when it is perforated. And therefore, I would say that it's going to be kosher. Kamash Balan, that's why he brought him from the halacha of Atameim to say, first of all, you should just know, the gravy is forbidden, which that you wouldn't know from the halacha Shmuel. Moreover, gravy is more easily absorbed than by blood. So although by blood, you're busy spitting out, the other one's busy spitting out, it's not going to absorb it, and there was the previous halacha we had brought, that it's going to be permitted, but over here, it's going to be forbidden. And again, that's why we didn't want to bring him from Shmuel, because Shmuel's halacha wouldn't tell us that this halacha would apply to gravy. I would think gravy is not like the thing itself. as we find by fruits, that the juice is not considered the fruits. It's like the sweat. Here it wouldn't be prohibited element. As they're saying, it is part of the prohibited element. And moreover, even when it's busy spitting out, both happening at the same time, which, yes, the fact that it's being assaulted, that is Shmuel's halacha of Harei Kirisech, and therefore they are mixing. But again, it's the idea of that it's more easily absorbed than the blood, and that's the halacha that he brought him from Atameim and not from Shmuel's halacha.